Hello again, Murr here with Bug. If you're here from last podcast, today will be a little different. So instead of doing zodiac signs today, we chose to do haunted places. We're going to start off with the worldwide top 100 haunted places that we have found, and we hope that you enjoy it. The first for the most 100 haunted places is the Lizzie Borden House in Fall River, Massachusetts in 1892. We have gathered a lot of information from Google and other websites that have given some very interesting information. The Lizzie Borden House is famous because of the unsolved murders of Andrew and Abby Borden. Andrew Borden was Lizzie's father and Abby Borden was Lizzie's stepmother. The murders of Andrew and Abby Borden were known as the Axe Murders. Abby Borden suffered 18 to 19 blows to the head, resulting from bleeding out. Abby's body was found cold, but Andrew's body was found warm, meaning that Abby had been killed a good 90 minutes before the death of her husband. Andrew Borden had only suffered 11 blows to the head, maybe because he was her father, or maybe because she just didn't want to do any more. Some may never know. Lizzie Borden was tried for the murders of her father and stepmother, but after the long trial was found, unfortunately not guilty. Many assumed that Lizzie suffered from a rough childhood, which led her to the upbringings of doing this to her family. It was said that her stepmother and her never got along, but they never say exactly why her sister, Emma Borden, wasn't convicted for it either. Emma's story is that she was washing dishes or making a dress in other cases. Why was Lizzie the only one trialed for their deaths?
Well, some reasons might explain. On the morning of both deaths of Lizzie, Lee claimed to be downstairs. Her sister told police that she had been staying out of town with family members and wasn't home. Their guest had been running errands and wasn't home either. And also their maid was cleaning windows outside, and Andrew Borden had been running errands around town too. Leaving Lizzie and her stepmother, Abby, the ones alone in the house together. Lizzie claimed to be downstairs in the morning and have never heard any specific suspicious noise, which is convenient and very weird, especially since Abby Borden had been struck multiple times in the back of the head and fallen down the floor, which would have been a large thump causing a loud noise to appear. Abby was said to have died around 9:30 in the morning, while Andrew Borden died around 11 in the morning, which leaves the murder around an hour and a half to finish killing Abby. And when they see Andrew return home, eventually axe murdering him too. Afterwards, a witness told police that Lindsay had been wearing a blue dress that they saw month earlier with a friend or associated they indeed liked helping, and ended up getting white old paint on it. Another reason is that many neighbors of the Borden reported seeing Lizzie Borden trying to buy prussic acid from the local store. After being asked by the druggist why she needed it, she told the employees that it was for cleaning purposes. The druggist refused to give her the acid, as seeing this as very suspicious, and she had no prescription. What also didn't make sense is that Lizzie claimed to have gone out to the barn for lead sinkers for a fishing trip for her father. But when police investigated the barn, they saw no evidence of anyone's footprints indicating someone was there. Also, the barn appeared to be very hot and suffocating, making no way a person would stay inside for a whole 20 minutes. And there's still more. Around 10:30, the maid Bridget Sylvain reported hearing a laugh from upstairs echoing and thought it was Lizzie, even though she claimed to be downstairs until she went out to the barn. Lizzie, of course, also had a strained relationship with both of her father and stepmother. Also, police saw no sign of forced entry, and the burdens were always claimed to have beautifully locked their doors, which would have to mean someone would break in, and neighbors reported seeing no one enter or exit the family's home between or after the time of both deaths. Lizzie was supposed to inherit millions of dollars from her father's death too, as he was a real estate agent, meaning she definitely had a motive as to at least killing her father. Also, police investigated, searched the house. They found bloody rags in a pile. Where asked about the rags, Lizzie told the police officer that she had been menstruating, and police officer became man decided to leave it at that.
Now we have some questions. Would any hatchet after murdering someone leave blood everywhere? The father, Andrew, and his whole face had his whole face demolished to where it was barely recognizable. There should have been tons of blood everywhere, but when police came to the house to investigate, there was not as much to barely any, which is very suspicious. Many also ask why the sisters separated. Some say it is because of Lizzie finding a romantic relationship with a man, and Emma didn't like or even care for him. Now others say it is because Emma told her sister Lizzie that she indeed had killed her father and stepmother and was finally apologizing about it, and Lizzie decided to kick her out of the home, which is pretty understandable considering how much she had gone through, because no one in the town would believe her story. Even after being pronounced non-guilty, the committee was still so set on ridiculing Lizzie Borden. Many children would knock on their door in the middle of the night to annoy or upset them, and others would throw things at the windows and doors. Many people would say undeniably horrid things about Lizzie, even if she was in earshot and could hear everything they were saying. Before the murders of Abby and Andrew Borden, Lizzie was known as a considerably good Christian woman who would give baskets of food to the poor and volunteer at local schools and churches. But sadly, afterwards, many would refuse to sit with her at church and would give snares and glares and rude gestures to her. For the rest of this episode, we're going to talk about even more of creepy and disturbing stories. First up is the Myrtles Plantation in Louisiana. Now, some say that the plantation has been on top of a burial ground, but many say that that is just rumored and not actually true. The plantation was built in 1796 and is said to have 6 to 12 murders that have happened. One of the most famous stories is of a slave named Chloe. Chloe had reportedly been sexually abused by her master and was worried about having to move out to the field once her master's interest in her no longer lingered. So she had to eavesdrop on the master's conversation with his wife and was caught. Hear what he did to her after this break.
The master caught her and decided to cut her ears off, resulting in having to wear a green turban to hide the scars left behind. Now, Chloe decided to bake a cake for the oldest daughter's birthday, but she baked older leaves into the cake, which was poisonous. Some say she did this to nurse the children and his wife back to health, so her reputation would become better. Others say that she just wanted revenge. Either way, the dosage she put into the cake ended up being lethal and ended up killing both daughters and the master's wife. After seeing and hearing what Chloe had done, her fellow slaves hung there, then added wing to her and sunk her in the Mississippi River. Many claim to see her in their pictures when they visit and have seen her photographs from long before.
Many claim these stories are unreal and not correct at all. There are no records of a slave named Chloe or his daughters dying from this sickness. After this incident, new owners occupied this house, a man and his 5 children. Supposedly, all but one of his children survived from tuberculosis. Their surviving daughter got the plantation passed down to her. She met a man, and her husband, Mr. and Mrs. Winters, owned the house. The 2 couple taught Sunday school at the plantation until one day when an unknown man showed up asking for Mr. Winters, saying he had some sort of business with him. When Mr. Winters opened the store and stood on his front porch, the man shot him. Mr. Winters stumbled up his stairs back into his house to die in his wife's arms. Many claim to still hear hard clumps going upstairs to this day. Another crazy story is one of the most infamous killers, Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper was never identified or seen. The murders he committed were in areas in and around the Whitechapel district of London in 1888. The victims were Mary Ann Nicholas, Annie Chapman, Catherine Eddowes, Elizabeth Stride, and Mary Jane Kelly. All of these victims were prostitutes. Mary Ann Nicholas was found at 3:40 a.m. and was last seen alive an hour before she was found. Her throat was cut with two deep gashes and one was down all the way to her vertebrae. Her vagina had been stabbed two times. Her lower abdomen was ripped open, which had caused her bowels to protrude. Annie Chapman was found at 6 a.m. Her throat had been cut with two slits. Her abdomen was cut nearly open. Flesh from her stomach had been removed up to her left shoulder. Another small piece of flesh and her small intestines were removed and put up upon her right shoulder. Her uterus, sections of her bladder, and her vagina had been removed. She was last seen at 5:30 a.m. with a dark-haired man wearing a brown deerstalker hat and a dark overcoat. Elizabeth Stride was discovered at 1 a.m. with a cut on her neck all the way to her right jaw. She had no other mutilations, so many think he was interrupted during his time with her. Catherine Eddowes was found 45 minutes after Miss Strider. Her throat was severed, her abdomen ripped open, her intestines were over her right shoulder, her left kidney was removed, her uterus and part of her ear were removed, and her face had been mutilated and disfigured. Mary Ann Kelly was found in a room. He had burned many items to illuminate the room while he mutilated her. Mary's face was gashed in all different ways. Her neck tissue was severed to the bone, and he stole and kept the poor woman's heart.
The next place is the very common, very famous Avenueville Horror House. The address is 112 Ocean Avenue, Long Island, New York. On November 13, 1974, Rondo DeVille Jr. shot and killed six members of his family. Louise and Ronald DeVille Jr. were his parents, Don DeVille, 18 years old, Allison DeVille, 13 years old, Mark DeVille, 12 years old, and John Matthew DeVille, 9 years old, were Ronald's siblings he shot to death. At 3 in the morning was a 3.5 caliber Ronald shot his parents with two shots each. Then each of his siblings were a single shot. Everyone else was asleep when they were shot, besides Dawn, who was awake and wrestled her brother for the gun, but eventually was shot and killed. At first, he tried to blame that his sister and an unknown assailant, her boyfriend, killed them, repeating that her boyfriend killed their parents and then on killing their siblings, and he only killed Dawn on accident, struggling to get the gun from her. The judge did not believe this. Then he tried to blame it on the mob hitman, but the alibi came back true. Eventually, he gave up and told the police where the gun and the clothes were. He pleaded insanity with antisocial personality disorder. He was also a heroin and LSD. He heard thoughts that his family members were coming after him. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison. So what were you doing?
Our next story is of the Vasilla Axe Murder House. It is in Vasilla, Iowa. The murders were committed on June 10, 1912. The night before the murders, Josiah and Sarah Moore, their four children, Herman Montgomery, who was 11, Mary Catherine, who was 10, Arthur Boyd, who was 7, and Paul Vernon, who was 5. Their daughter, Mary Catherine, invited her two friends, Ina May, who was 8, and her sister, Lena Gertrude Stingler, who was 12. The night the family and the two friends went to the Presbyterian Church for a Children's Day program. They arrived home at 9:45 to 10 p.m. At 7 in the morning, their neighbor noticed that no one had been awake and decided to knock on the door, but there was still no answer. She decided to call Josiah's brother, and he knocked on the door, but still no answer. So he unlocked the door with his spare key. He went to the guest room where he found Ina and Lena's bodies on the bed. He told the neighbor to call the police officer. The police searched the rest of the house and found the other family members' bodies. We'll be right back after this break.
The police found out that the murders were committed from 12 p.m. to 5 a.m. Evidence pointed that the murderers hid in the attic, waiting for the Moores to return home. Cigarettes were found in the attic suggesting this. Joshua was the first victim and was killed with the sharp blade of the axe. He received the most blows to the head and his eyeballs was removed from his head. Everybody else was killed by the blunt end of the axe. Leah was the only one alive when killed. She tried to fight back and defense wounds were found on her thigh and arm. She was found laying on the bed with her gown up around her waist with her underwear removed. Officers believe killer sexually molested her. There are many suspicions as to who committed the crime. Reverend George Kelly was a prime suspect in the case. He was caught peeping into windows, and has even been asked to women and young girls to pose nudes for him. On the night of the Children's Day program he had been teaching, he was seen leaving town that night around 5 to 5:30, which would have been roughly around the same time the murders would have just been committed. When trialed for the murders, he confessed to the murders and told description details of the crimes scene of the murder. Judge did not believe him. This was because he had a mental disorder, and the police thought he was obsessed with the murders and was making up the story. After this, he was sent to a mental asylum.
The next suspect was Frank F. Jones. Josiah Moore, the father, used to work for Frank and eventually created his own business and stole business from Frank and was also accused of having a sexual affair with Frank's daughter-in-law. The most logical and obvious suspect is William Mansfield. William was believed to have been hired by the senator to kill the family. He killed his infant child, wife, and parents-in-law. He was addicted to cocaine and his murder of his family had been similar to that of the Vasilla family's murder. All windows and doors were covered so that the walking pedestrians and bypassing neighbors were not able to look in and catch the perpetrator in the act. But for both instances, he had alibis that checked out each time. So sadly for this family, justice was never served for them, just like Jack the Ripper victims. You have reached the end of our episode 2 of Haunted Places. We hope you have enjoyed this, and we'll hopefully come back for more on episode 3.
Yeah.